Welcome to The Convo. I am your host, Lakeisha Mosley. I'm a mom, a blogger, a brand influencer, and the event producer of my own event management company called The LM Experience. On The Convo, you'll hear conversations with some of the most profound entrepreneurs from all over the world as they share with us their wins and their losses. They'll also share tips and tricks with you that will help you be successful along this journey called entrepreneurship. Let's get started with the show. This episode is sponsored by The LM Experience. The LM Experience is an event management firm located in Houston, Texas. We're committed to a high level of execution for any type of event. From galas to workshops, we're sure to make your event an experience. Need assistance with your virtual event? We're here to help. Contact us for more information at www.thelmexperience.com. We don't just manage events, we execute experiences. Lika C is a wife, mom, non-traditional nursing student, and a budding activist. She's also the host of Canvic Convos podcast, which I had the awesome pleasure of being a guest on. On Canvic Convos, she talks about education, health, and social awareness in the Black community. She's very active in spreading awareness of basic health screenings in the Black community. Her goal is to break down the stigma of mental health in our community. She also has been selling on eBay and Amazon for over 8 years. So tune into the show so you can hear all about what Lika C has going on. Thanks so much for joining us on another episode of Convo with Keisha. Today, I got my girl, Lika of Candy Convos. I'm so excited, girl. How's it going?
It's going fine. How you doing?
I am doing well, my friend. So before we get started, I want you to tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Like she mentioned, my name is Lika. I am a wife, mom, sister, friend, cousin, all that wrapped up in one. I just went back to school about 2 years ago. I'm doing a career change. I just turned 40, wasn't fulfilled what I was doing, so I went back going into nursing, and I'm looking to kind of bring that to like the Black community, like screenings, high blood pressure, just the common basic stuff that some of us just don't go do, or we don't have insurance. Let's see, you know, I have Tyler's preschoolers. I have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old that's, you know, driving me insane, but that's about it. Just an old Midwest housewife just graduating school again.
Girlfriend, I can imagine. Mine are grown and they drive me a while. So I can only imagine at that age. And then with nothing to do, you know, they all bored. Right. Everybody's bored now. Everybody
exactly.
Bored. Yeah, everybody needs something to do. So that sounds good. So tell us, you know, why the career change? Like, what made you change your career?
Well, a lot of things I've been doing have been like customer service oriented, call centers, and my personality, I just cannot do those type of jobs, but here, there's all that you can do, pretty much. So then I got the opportunity to go back to school for free through this program through a local community college here, and I was looking at what they were offering, and I said, you know, you can go anywhere with nursing. You could do anything with nursing. So I just, you know, talk to my parents, talk to my husband, like, you know, I'm going to need y'all support. My mama needs you to watch these kids. And luckily, thank God, I had a lot of college credits from before. So it really wasn't a long journey. So I'm going into my I had to repeat two classes. So I guess you want to say second semester of nursing school. And hopefully I graduate, I think I'm looking at May of 2022.
Oh, that's still cool though. I mean, nursing, and that's what my daughter, she just submitted her application, fingers crossed, nursing school. So I'm super, super like excited for her. It is a field that, I mean, oh my gosh, just so much goes on, so much happens. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a field where you are giving back. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Like, you are really giving back. You're really doing a lot to help people. And especially when you talk about communities, like going back into the community and giving back and helping. Because in our communities, we do not take care of ourselves. Like, we don't do it. I don't know if it's because we don't know Lika or if we just don't have the resources, you know?
Yeah, I think it's like we don't have the resources. And I also think it's kind of the unknown, not trusting the healthcare. You know, you think, you know, like my dad, he's 72. And we tell him to go, you know, dad's time for your doctor's appointment. He's like, oh, you know, they did test the experiment. I don't know what, daddy, no, you going up here to this doctor appointment. Especially like the older, you know, in his generation, they're like terrified of going for anything.
Yes, that's so true. That's so true. And they always, girl, had some kind of potion to fix what was wrong with us. And I mean, if you think about it, we grew up, because I'm in my 40s too. I just made 44. So I can recall like not really taking a lot of this over-the-counter medicine. My grandmother found something, you know, that was going to quote unquote fix us, and we seem to be better now. But I will say, you know, foods were processed a lot differently back then. A lot of stuff wasn't happening, you know, global warming, all of that stuff, you know, that really wasn't an issue if you think about it, like back then, like it is now.
Right.
Yeah, it was just so much. It's funny how you say that. Like, they don't want to go to the doctor, don't want to do anything that is, you know, can make it seem like something could be wrong. Like, oh no, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I'm gonna just pray about it. And I'm like, we can pray on the way to the doctor. How about that?
Let's hello. Exactly. And then I think it's also exactly. And I think like some of the like for like the black man that's in my family, when you check for prostate cancer, colon cancer, you ain't doing that to me. I'm like, so do you want to die something that you might can prevent?
Yes. Like, yeah, you could probably prevent this whole thing. Like, are you serious right now?
Mm-mm, they don't be playing that, but the people in my family, they know I act a fool. I'll fall out. My husband try to act up, I fall out.
Right? Be like, we not finna do this one. This is what we not finna do.
And you exactly.
Yeah, yourself. Girl, I feel you. So, mom, wife, and now nursing school. How in the world do you juggle family life and nursing school?
It's hard, but I am very lucky that I have a great support team. Mm-hmm. Luckily I don't have to work, so that's just like a whole load off right there. Like, anybody has to work during nursing school, I commend them, because I don't see how they do it. I worked a little part-time job at the local hospital here, and I was almost about dead. I said, oh no, I can't do this. I'm just gonna wait to buy my little I was like I have a lot of support, and like I said, my parents help a lot. So they watch mm-hmm. my kids. Like, they start school this Tuesday, and I have to be at school on Tuesday. We all got to be at the same time. So, you know, my kids just spend the night on Monday, and I just go on to school, and then I come get them. You know, it's like everybody's helping out for this end goal. And I just, you know, like, I really appreciate my husband, because he's been holding it down. You know, I said, I'm getting ready to graduate soon. You can take a break. I'm going to graduate soon. I was like, just hold on. Give me another year.
Right. And that's so awesome to have a support system. I can recall when I was in school, you know, many moons ago, I had one baby, And then like 2 years later, I had another baby, but my mom and my grandmother were determined for me to finish my education. They were like, nope, you're going to finish
exactly.
You're going to finish this. So I think that's like absolutely awesome, you know, to have a support system. You know, and people ask me, you know, your daughter doesn't want to move out. And I'm like, I don't think it's that she doesn't want to move out, but she's getting ready to go to nursing school. And, you know, they've even said like, that is, it's really hard do both, you know, it's really, really hard to do both. So I definitely understand.
And then now with the pandemic, it's like, we got to do it online. It's like, it's extra hard. Like, I'm trying to learn how to take care of people online. Like, this is not crazy.
Exactly. 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 And not only that, think about, you know, a lot of what you do will be hands-on, and you're having to try to learn this in a space where it's, you're not really able to do all the touch, the feel, you know, all of that stuff.
Right.
Really like unique in learning this skill of being a nurse.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a lot going on, but I definitely applaud you for that. So let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about mental health, which is something that is really dear to me. I've really gotten close to the community of women and men who are advocates for mental health, and I love the work that they're doing. Why do you think our community doesn't take mental health seriously?
I think because we always have to be strong. We don't really have time to think about it. That's like the old thinking. Like my mom will say to me, Salika, you don't have time to be depressed. You have to keep going, you know. But in the same fashion, she'll also, you know, hug on me, you know, whatever I'm going through. But she'll also tell me we don't have time for that. The world doesn't allow us to do that.
Right.
But now it seems like I just turned 40, so maybe like 50 and down, maybe they're starting to get into mental health, going to see therapists, recommending it to friends and stuff like that. And I think it's important because it's like, when I had my first baby, I think I was, 33, and I had postpartum really bad. And if it wasn't for people supporting me and talking to a therapist and getting help, I don't know where I would have been, you know?
Right.
And I think people need support. We need to talk about it in our community. If you go to a therapist, you know, you shouldn't be like, oh, she went to go see a therapist. She crazy. You know, that's why people don't talk about it or even want to go.
Right. I agree with you 1,000%. I think the whole way that, you know, our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents grew up was, you know, the old saying, well, go on in my house, stay in my house. But they're also just killing us. That is why some of us are taking our lives and we don't feel like it's a safe space for us to share, you know, the vulnerabilities that we come up against. It's a lot going on right now. It is so much going on right now. And I really, really thank God for having a therapist. And it wasn't until I had lost both of my parents, 10 months apart, that I was like, no, there is someone that can help me. And there's no reason for me to suffer in this alone.
Right. Like,
no reason for me to be suffering alone, you know, in this whole thing. So I think it's so important. I think we definitely have to be advocates and push it out there. We need to do as many events, you know, webinars, testimony, like whatever it is we need to do.
Right.
We definitely need to be doing it.
Right. I just think, as you know, as a Black community, we need to be more vocal and just more supportive if people need mental health, you know, because we do have mental health just like anybody else, mental health issues. Exactly. And we just need to be supportive.
Exactly. And I think more so in our community, because we've always been taught to be tolerant. We've always been taught that we needed to accept what is. And a lot of that now, you know, we're seeing with everything that's going on, like, we're not having it.
Hello?
We're not having it at all. Like, we are, like, seriously not dealing with that. And so we have to have a way to channel all of that anger and that aggression. And sometimes, like you say, when we don't deal with it, it turns into something that really hurts us in the end. And before you know it, we just snap.
Yes.
We just snap.
And I was kind of, it's funny you say that. I was at my parents' house yesterday, and, you know, they grew up in a whole civil rights era and integrating schools.
Right.
Where they can't even look at what's going on now. Like, you know, I live in Wisconsin, so that all that stuff with Kenosha, that's like, what, an hour away from me?
Yeah.
It's in my state. So they can't even watch it on TV because it's so triggering. And I be trying to tell them, that's a mental health issue. You had to deal with this way more than I did face to face. You know, you couldn't even go to the bathroom
right
with white people at one time. So, like, they can't watch slave movies. They can't watch any civil rights movies. Anything that comes on now is so triggering. They just turn the TV or they'll go
right
to the patio. And I'm just like, wow, this is like a mental health issue that they're dealing with.
That's so, so sad. I really, really hate that, because it's just so much that goes on that we mm-hmm. don't talk about and that we have to deal with it. It's just awful that we feel like we don't have a voice. And
right.
I think tackling, you know, our mental health issues is a way for us to use our voices mm-hmm. to say what's wrong and, like, remove that stigma. I don't understand mm-hmm. why there's this awful stigma with mental health. I just don't get it.
It's just, I don't, you know, and it's just so, like, I don't know. I mean, that's such a good question. Like, why are we the ones that we just, you know, Black folks, we just don't want to go? You know, I think it's maybe being ridiculed, you know. Like, I had a friend that was going to see a therapist in the same building that I work. And when she saw that I worked there, it's like she saw a ghost. Like, she was so embarrassed. And I'm like, girl, first of all, I'm not going to tell nobody. It's nobody's business.
Right.
But this is what you need to go through. You know, this is healthy for
you. That's right. Right. This is what you need to deal with. And this is why we have the issues we have, because people don't want to deal with them. We feel like it'll just go away, you know, and things like that. So it's really good that some of us are really stepping up and we're trying to, you know, get people to go get the help they need, to not just right. let it, you know, sit there, because it's not good.
Right.
It's really, really not good. But, you know, as we talk about mental health, I think in our community, taking care of ourselves health-wise just is not a priority for us. We don't really feel like we should be doing it. So what health screenings do you think we should be getting?
We'll be right back after a short word from our sponsor.
High blood pressure, number one, is the, you know, silent killer.
Yeah.
I did blood pressure, you know, I was practicing on a family member, and their blood pressure, I mean, it was like 180 over, I think, 110.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, we told her, you need to get to urgent care ASAP, and she had high blood pressure this whole time.
Oh, my gosh.
And
never
know,
knew.
Never knew. And I'm just thinking, what if I never would have, you know, been practicing my blood pressure skills on you? You could have just had a stroke and been out of here.
Exactly.
You know, because, you know, high blood pressure. Exactly. So that, I think that's number one, the high blood pressure. Colorectal screenings are extremely important. And I've always been vocal about it. I lost my father-in-law to colon cancer about a month after our wedding. Mm-hmm. And my mom, she has polyps, which turns into colon cancer. So she has to go every 1 to 2 years to get them burned and clipped. And if she does not go, or she's, you know, it's like, I don't feel like doing it, she right. is going to get colon cancer. And I preach on that so much because my mom is such an example. I be telling people, it's, you got to drink something for one day, drink some liquid, go to the bathroom. Then the next day, they put a camera in there, check you. If you got polyps, they take care of them. Let's go.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. Yeah.
I think another one for men, prostate cancer is probably uncomfortable the way they do it, but let's go ahead and do this little 5-minute test so we can see if we need to, you know, take care of you.
Right.
You know, and brothers don't want to do it. Like, it was funny because in class, my teacher was saying that Black men have the highest, going back to blood pressure, they have the highest rate of untreated blood pressure because it sometimes stops them from having an erection. And so they would rather have the erection and have the high blood pressure instead of maybe fixing the high blood pressure, then fixing the erection. You know, that's the kind of thing that are still in our mind. Like, you need to be worried about being alive because that erection ain't gonna matter if you in the ground.
Right, exactly. What you gonna do then? That's not right, sis. Girl, I'm glad you're giving it to people like that.
It's just, especially with Chadwick Boseman dying, like, that really took me out.
Oh, girl, you know, I was like, oh my gosh.
I was so hurt. And he was young because you're not really supposed to really do it to 45. And he just happened to be one that got it early.
Right.
And I just, people need to just, you know their bodies. You know, women need to go get their pap smear, you know, as recommended once a year or whatever, how, you know, your doctor says. But
right.
We did the basic stuff we just need to start doing and start taking care of ourselves, you know, because we're dying for stuff that we could, you know, probably still be here for a while or get treated.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that is so, so important. I think we need to start really like empowering our people to do that. And again, I think part of it, like you said, are the resources. You know, they're not out there. You know, maybe that is something that you and I can partner on and get some other people on board. And maybe we should like throw a health summit or something like that. I mean, of course, it would all be virtual, but, you know, linking them to the resources that they need. Some people don't have access to even basic things that we do, like internet, you know, capabilities of knowing. And I really think that that is something that we should be doing. I think more so now because a lot of us are home and trying to stay safe. There's no reason why we are not empowering our people with the information they need. So we definitely probably need to consider, you know, something like that to help people. Because you're right. Like, we are leaving here when we don't have to.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. When we don't have to, when we can seriously take care of ourselves.
Right, because it's like our, you know, back to the black men, you know, the white men, they'll go, they get the test done, do what they got to do, and then they're here to 80 to 90. But then, you know, the brother, he don't want nobody touching his, you know, backside. Yeah. So he not getting none of these little 5-minute tests done.
Exactly.
And it makes me so angry. I just be snapping on people about that.
That might be what they need, sis, to get their life together. Like, come on, let's get this together, okay? Because y'all playing. Because y'all playing. Let's stop it. Let's stop it right now. Yeah, I don't blame you about that. I think it's, and I think we need more people like you in families. Like, it's okay to tell an elder you out of order. It is okay to tell the elder that you're out of order. They are the ones who are supposed to be leading and guiding us. And if they are not here, they cannot do that.
Right, exactly.
They cannot do that. So I think it's just definitely something to consider. You know, people want to wait to the beginning of the year and to get healthy. Look, maybe by then we'll come up with a plan to launch something around that time of the year. Like, okay, you finna get your life together, talk about weight loss. Okay, but what about these other things that you need to get done? I mean, as a black woman who... My grandmother on my mom's side had everything you could think of, okay? Diabetes, mental health issues, heart disease. Like, she literally had her heart taken from her body, repaired and put back in her body. An open heart surgery. High blood pressure, overweight, you name it, okay? My mom died from cirrhosis of the liver. She was a really heavy alcoholic. My dad died from brain cancer. It started in his lung and went to his brain. Do you not think I am not going to utilize the services that are available to me? I am going to go if, child, let me tell you, if something ate too long, I'm going to see what's wrong with myself.
Okay.
I'm just going. And I'm grateful to have worked a job where, you know, I had really good benefits. But now being a full-time entrepreneur, I take advantage of programs still where I can pay and go and get checked out. It's not going to go away. We have to pay attention. And that was the one thing I think what made me really passionate about getting health screenings and stuff done. My mom knew for a long time that something was wrong with her. She didn't know what was wrong with her, but she knew something was wrong with her, and she hid it from us. Wow. She literally hid it from us until it was too late. So my mom was always one that she wasn't going to the doctor, period. Like, child, you couldn't get her to go to the doctor. But when she felt so bad to where the ambulance had to be called and she didn't fight to go, it was like, okay, girl, you got to get on the road and get to Louisiana because something's going on, you know. And my mom walked into a hospital, but she never walked out. She never walked out of there because by the time they caught it, it was too late. You know, they just made her comfortable until she passed. But think about it, you know, the alcoholism, of course, you know, contributed to it, but our liver repairs itself over and over and over and over, like, until it just can't do it anymore. It's the one in our body that really takes care of itself. But had my mom, when she first noticed that something was really wrong with her, had went and just sought some help, you know, maybe her life could have been sustained a little bit longer, you know, just going to check to see, why do I feel this way?
Right. Yeah, I'm like you. If I feel bad for maybe 2 or 3 days, I'm going to be urgent care like, hello, how are you?
How y'all doing? I'm back.
Right.
I'm back. Exactly. And last time I was here, I know, but, you know,
I'm not playing, you gonna see me with no attitude too, you gonna see me.
So yes, that's definitely so important. I am so happy to know that you're such an advocate for that. It really helps our community when we speak out about things like that. It really does. So yes. You also sell on eBay and Amazon. Tell us, how did you get started doing that?
When I met my husband, I had some like gifts left over from an ex-boyfriend, and I was with my homegirl at the grocery store. I said, I'm just gonna put this on eBay because I'm not gonna be, you know, keeping his stuff around and me and the other dude.
Right.
So I put it at eBay, and me and my friend went grocery shopping, and all of a sudden I get this cash register noise. I done sold some gift cards. I was like, what? So ever since then, I put stuff on eBay, and that's how I kind of, especially now since I'm not working, I kind of sustain myself, little stuff I want to buy on Amazon or, you know, go to Burlington or whatever. Right. My stuff. That's how I sustain. I get stuff from around the house. Like now, my stepson, he's growing so tall, so all his pants, they're like practically brand new, name brand. I'm putting them on eBay today. Old school books, I try to, you know, put them low enough so somebody can get them if they need them, but that I can still make a profit. I go to Walmart clearance aisle, Burlington, Goodwill, buy stuff and put it on eBay.
That's awesome. So how would you suggest someone, you know, get started doing that?
I always say start at your house. Like, don't go out and buy anything to sell. Start at home, stuff that you don't want that's in good condition, that's not too heavy to ship out.
Right.
And then I just say, just throw it on there. You know, I just made a little profile and I had it attached to my PayPal account and I just be selling.
Oh, see, that's good information. I mean, because especially during this time now when y'all supposed to have y'all behinds at home, you can be cleaning, going through stuff, and you see stuff that you're not using. Because I know here in Houston, a lot of the Goodwill places, I mean, they're open, but they're not really taking any donations because of COVID. Like, they're only selling what's already there, but because of COVID, they're not really, you know, like, accepting things because they don't know if it's safe. Well, this is a way that you possibly could still sell things and get it out of your house, and on top of that, make money.
Exactly. I mean, you just take a couple of pictures, and I just, you know, make sure the lighting is good so people can see it. Right. If, like, I just sold a pharmacology book, but the cover was bent, so I make sure I take a picture of that so they won't try to return it, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
And just be honest with my ad, and I just, like, we were looking the other day, and I've been selling since 2011 and I've made $6,000.
Wow.
From 2011 till today, I made $6,000. And that's just doing it like real extremely part-time. So I'm like, ooh, I need to kick it up a notch.
Right? Because girl, that's awesome right there. That's like totally mm-hmm. awesome to make that kind of money. And it's passive.
Yes.
You know, it's passive income. It's not even mm-hmm. anything like that's super stressful that you really have to, you know, do.
Right. Exactly. Just take pictures, write a little description, and, you know, just sit there and wait. So somebody gonna buy it. I've sold everything I put online. Stuff I think people wouldn't buy, people buy. I'm like, y'all want this? Okay.
You're like, oh, y'all are interested, huh? Okay.
Oh, right. Exactly.
I love that. Well, I certainly appreciate you, you know, joining me on today to talk about, you know, what you do and how you're helping in the community. I think it's so awesome, everything that you're doing. It just takes one of us, you know, to get mm-hmm. started, to start a movement to help other people. And I just think, you know, it's very admirable considering everything you already have on your plate for you to be able to do that. So tell the listeners how they can get connected with you.
So you can find me on Facebook, which I need to get a little bit more active with, or you can find me on Instagram at Candid, and that's Candid with a K, Convos with a C, Pod, P-O-D, and I'll be there.
All right, and I will make sure that we drop all of your show information and how to get connected with you in the show notes so that people can definitely reach out to you. But I certainly appreciate you joining me again today. Like, I was on your podcast and I had a ball. It was so fun. It was so much fun. So I definitely want to encourage people to check your show out. It's really good information, very helpful information. So definitely want people to check it out.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you for tuning in to The Convo. I hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to subscribe on Anchor or Apple Podcasts.